We live in a world dominated by advertising. Everywhere you look, there's some advertising image professing some amazing insight into your life. You see an image of someone selling you some beauty product or a mobile phone. And kind of the message is, if you had this product, you would be amazingly beautiful and popular and attractive, and your life would be exciting and everyone would love you. We also know there's also this sort of subtext where the message is also really saying to us, you're ugly and you're depressed and everyone hates you and your life is really boring. You know, I don't know about you, but advertising really gets me down because of that, because it's constantly telling you how horrible you are. And there's a bit of a cynical part of me which reacts the same way to this feast day, this feast of the Holy Family. Because we have this amazingly beautiful image of Mary and Joseph and the child in absolute peace and harmony. And it's almost like this beautiful piece of propaganda by the church saying, you know, your family too could be like this. The subtext is, your family's a mess. And it's always going to be that way unless you try harder. Yeah, something in me reacts. I don't know about you, but my family's a mess. And yet there is something very beautiful about this. If you kind of go beyond that initial reaction and ask, why do we celebrate this? Because the reality is that no one's family fits this model. No one's family is in perfect harmony, where everyone talks and affirms each other and loves each other. It's just goes from one crisis to the next. You know, it's almost like a competition to see who can hurt each other the most sometimes. And yet what God is saying here is something very important. This is not a message of saying, try harder. If you did all those things you know you should have done, it would be like this. That's not what we're saying. What we're actually saying here is, this is what God will do if God is at the center. Because, well, that's what we have here. We have Mary and Joseph with Christ in their arms. Christ is at the center of this relationship. Everywhere around them, there is chaos. As we hear in the readings, there are people hunting them down to kill them. They're refugees. They have no home to sleep in. They're going from place to place. It's mess. It's absolute chaos. But Christ is at the center. It's about what God does, not about what we do. It's not about us trying to go through all these self-help manuals and trying to put on this perfect facade, trying to make the best cupcakes and have our lounge room look perfect. It's about conversion, as it always is. It's about coming back to God and realizing we can't do this without him. Because that's the way it was designed. That's the way we as human beings were designed. We can't operate without God. It's the way family was designed. We can't operate without God. And we see the fruits of this everywhere. You know, if you want some proof of what the church is teaching, look simply at marriage. Look simply at family. There is an eternal truth here that God is saying that we can't do this without God. You know, in recent years, it's almost been a constant refrain by the church in Australia, but worldwide, saying that marriage and family is under attack, that we have to defend family. Everywhere around the world, we're seeing governments establishing laws to redefine marriage. And it's amazing how creative they're becoming in redefining marriage. There was a thing recently in Canada trying to legalize polyamory, saying that it's a superior form of family because three parents are better than two. And we have this great irony that where the church is saying, you know, family is about a marriage between a man and a woman. And yet those that fit that category have no desire to be married, and those that don't fit that category are the ones desperately trying to have it legalized. We've lost the plot. And as much as the church is saying we have to defend this, Now, the other week, the Archbishop had us signing a petition trying to defend some new legislation going through. That is very important that we do this. But I think the sad reality is we've already missed the boat. We've already lost. If you speak to any politician, they're just simply going to say that they're reflecting the attitudes of society. Family has already been destroyed. The marriage unit has already collapsed. A politician signing it into legislation is simply a symbolic act, symbolizing the reality. We need to be able to make that stand. But I think the reality is we have to come back to this place of placing God at the center. Rather than waiting for some politician to change the law books, it has to be a matter of conversion. It has to be a matter of us personally encountering Christ. Because as I said, families are very strange things. I often think it's one of the strangest jokes God ever created. Because family is designed to heal us. Family is designed to build us. It gives us our identity. It shows us who we're meant to be. And it has the potential to make you into a complete human being. But it also has the ability to destroy you, to make you a very broken human being. And I know most of you are probably sitting there thinking, yeah, that's my experience. You know, that the experience of our family, it can do so much damage. And I think this is the reason why our society has come to the place it's in. That we've seen this for too long as just being a structure rather than this being a place of encounter with the living God. You know, I often kind of think of family as being a bit like a pyramid. We have these two pillars of the husband and the wife lifting up the second generation, the children. Now, the reality is, if you want to destroy that sort of pyramid, you don't have to attack all three parts of it. You only have to hit one of those pillars and the whole thing collapses. Seems to me that's pretty much what the devil's done. You know, I think, look at your own experience. I know it's very true for my experience and every single person I speak to, that men in our society are seriously broken. And so often, the weakest point in a family can be the father. You know, and this is nothing against men. You know, I really want to affirm the men that are here. And I really want to encourage the women here to pray for the men that are here. Because I think if you want to find the fault in the system, if you want to understand why the family unit is collapsing around us, you have to look where the deepest brokenness is. I had a very close friend some years ago who died of a drug overdose. At the time, I was very angry because this young man had shared with me that his deepest pain came from his father, that his father had failed to show him love and had simply showed him anger. And really, his turning to drugs was a way of trying to numb the pain. At the time of his funeral, I spoke to a relative about this and shared what had been said to me. And this person said, that's a very true reflection of the reality. But you have to understand that his father's father was the same, and his great-grandfather was the same, and further on down the generations. That there has been this deep wound in the heart of men, and sadly this gets passed on to the generations. There is a mountain of evidence, of research, not only from Christian authors but secular authors, showing that so many of these issues in our society come from our relationships with our fathers. Mountains of evidence showing that young women who end up in sexual behavior far too early, it's because they're trying to supplement something for the love they never got. Young men who end up in destructive behavior, it's because of this anger, because they've never had their manhood affirmed. You know, we feel bad talking about this. It's completely politically incorrect. You know, and our society would much rather dance around the issue and pretend it's not there. It's much easier to redefine the categories, to redefine marriage, to even redefine gender, as they're trying very hard to do. But if we as Christians are really serious, if we understand the importance of this family unit, we have to do something about this. Signing petitions is good, but it's a bit too late. What it comes down to is personal conversion. We have to encounter Christ. We have to encounter the one who is at the center of this picture of the Holy Family. Because it is Christ who will heal the wound. It is Christ who will affirm you in your manhood, in your womanhood. It is Christ who will lift us up out of our brokenness. And until we do that, our civilization will continue to collapse. The last three popes we've had have kept coming out saying that the mission of the church, your mission as a baptized Catholic, is to be a builder of a new humanity. What they're recognizing is that our civilization is falling apart. It's not going to be rebuilt by some system or some structure. It's going to be rebuilt by Christ coming back in and showing us what it is to be human, showing us what it is to be men, what it is to be women. So that this succession of brokenness being passed down the generations can end. I really want to encourage you to reflect on this and to take it seriously. You know, I'm sure that many of you have experienced things that would validate what I'm saying here. I don't need to stand here all night and quote things and give you evidence. I'm sure you know the personal pain that you've experienced in your own life and how hard it is to raise a family when you're carrying so much baggage. Turn to Christ and pray for those who are in your family. I really want to encourage the women here. Pray for your men. Pray for your husbands. Pray for your sons. Pray for your fathers. And take it seriously, not just some simple prayer in the morning. How many of you fast for your sons? How many of you offer up some sort of sacrifice and self-denial, really crying out to the Lord to change their hearts and transform them? How many of the men here do you pray for your wives? I remember years ago hearing of this whole movement that started in America of men committing themselves to fast one day a week for their wives, that their wives would become saints. I really want to encourage you to do that. It's very hard for a man to give up a meal. It's a seriously powerful prayer. But do that. And to the young men, pray for your wives that you haven't even met yet. Pray for the sons you haven't even thought of having yet. You know, take this seriously. You are meant to be builders of a new humanity. All around us, we are seeing our society going further and further into this mess. We see our friends, our relatives spiraling into depression, into drug use, alcohol abuse. Don't stand by and watch this happen. Take a stand. Bring Christ back into the center. Have the courage to admit your brokenness. In a society which tries constantly to put on this appearance of perfection, we should be the ones who have the courage to stand and say, I'm a mess. And that's wonderful. Because God makes up for all that. God's the one who can heal this. Yeah, let's take this seriously. You know, once again, with every feast we celebrate in the church calls us to conversion. It's not calling us to try harder. It's not calling us to do more. It's not calling us to be some overly pious, false sort of person. It's calling us to encounter the love of God that transforms. It's calling us to encounter the reality of a God who knows our mess, who was born into this mess, so that he could transform it. Let him come into your marriage. Let him come into your family. Talk about this with your wife, with your husband. Pray together. You may feel completely stupid doing it, but you've got to make a start. Bring Christ back to the center and allow his power to shine forth. As you repent, as you ask for this grace, you will discover a greater proof of the existence of God than anything else can show. As you see this love transform you, as you see this love have an effect down through the generations. And begin here in the Mass. As we welcome Christ in the Eucharist, as we take him into our hands, cry out to him and ask him to come in. Into the darkness of your own heart, into those broken areas of your own family, of all the wounds, all the hurt. Allow him to heal. Allow this love to transform.